Well, this church is quite big, I have to say. Oh boy. I teach sermons every Sabbath for the last God knows how long. And for the last year, at least, I was preaching twice every Sabbath, one at 9:30, another one at 11 o'clock. So coming up with a sermon has never been a problem to me. But for the last month or so, I could not pinpoint anything that I could say today. Every time I pass by this pulpit, I saw how big this church is, and I've never been in a church so big. So I am freaking out, like the youth would say. This may sound a little strange, but I would like to start today by thanking Becky Martinez for giving me the Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church master's key. I was so excited about Becky that the first night I couldn't sleep. I spent the whole night looking at the keys like, wow, this is the master's key for the Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I was so excited that on my first, 2 days, I lost the keys. For the last week, now you know what I've been doing, I was searching for my keys. Desperately. I never brought it up because I didn't think it was kind of the moment to kind of share that with anyone. This is my first week and I just lost the keys. Can you give me another one? But I prayed so much for it. I was so desperate. I would wake up in the middle of the night and think, what if somebody breaks into Pastor Gary's office and takes his computer? And the people would come and introduce themselves to me and, hi, my name is John. And I would say, do you have my keys? You know, looking at people. Did anybody? But I didn't ask anybody. But thank God I found it. Going through my mess in my office trying to clean up, I finally found my keys. It was right behind one of those frames that I put there, my daughter's frame. And finally, I found it. My precious. You guys have no idea how intimidating it is to be at your first week, be entrusted with the master's keys, and losing it. But I found it, and I'm so glad for that. A lot of people come and talk to me. I'm trying to memorize everybody's name, but I have to tell you, not everybody knows me. And one thing that I realize that is kind of interesting is that when people come to me and I say, hi, my name is Gilbert Del Vecchio, I'm the new associate pastor, they say, yes, you are AJ's father, aren't you? AJ is my 2-year-old son, Alan Joshua. And he is a 2-year-old baby on a 5-year-old body. You didn't get that. You figure it out. You figure it out when you see him. He is full of energy. And only so that you understand a little bit about my family, I told you about Gabby. She's sitting back there. She's 7. She's a beautiful princess. That's what I called her at home. And my wife, that she's been tolerating me for the last 13 years. And by the way, we dated for 6 years and a half, and we've been married for 13 years. So you do the math. It's a long time. It's a long time. But praise God, we're holding the fort and learning and growing together. But for you to understand a little bit about my son, I love him, and my wife already said, stop talking about your son. He's your son. Just, you know, live with it. And it sounds like sometimes you're ashamed of having him around. It's not. Yeah, I think he's a lot of fun. But for you to understand a little bit, this past year, I work in Imperial Valley. I used to work in Imperial Valley. And we formed a new district there with 4 churches. And when our new entering senior pastor came in, the first thing he said was, Gilbert, I want to take you and your family out to eat. And the first thing that came to my mind was, AJ, what am I going to do with my son? I told my wife, I said, the pastor wants to take us out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And she said, don't worry, he's your son. People are going to get used to him. And he's 2, by the way. Does anybody know what... how many of you have kids here? Let me see. Let me see your hands. How many of you know somebody that has kids? How many of you know people that have kids that have two-year-olds? How many of you do not understand what it means to have a two-year-old? So if you do not understand, some people will explain to you. Turn around and explain to them, what does it mean to have a two-year-old boy? You understand? So this new entrant senior pastor invited us to go out to eat. He invited my wife too, because my wife is still the church secretary for one of our churches there. Church treasurer. They're trying to find somebody to replace her. It's quite difficult, you know, how it is. He invited us to go out to eat, and he said, pick the restaurant, and don't worry, I'll pay for it. I want to treat your family to a nice lunch, and come with us. And I was like, oh, okay. I tried to warn him, but he kind of told me, who's the boss here? I'm telling you, we're going out to eat. So we go. We go out to eat. And sure enough, the pastor started realizing that my son needed some attention. Do you understand what I mean? And the pastor, many times he said, Gilbert, don't worry, I love kids. So not only he told us how much he loved kids, but he had to show it that he loved kids. In a few minutes, AJ was sitting on his lap, and AJ started shoveling food on the pastor's mouth, one by one, and my son thought that he was in a mission to feed the new pastor, because he didn't have enough to eat. And I had, you won't believe this, I had to see the new pastor, the person that I just had met like a day or two before, with my son on his lap, and I had to see him eating carrot cake with barbecue sauce, chicken nuggets with strawberry ice cream. And then when that was not enough, when the food ran out, my son started touching the food or whatever left was there with his own fingers. And he started shoveling his fingers on the pastor's mouth. And the pastor started licking his fingers. And my son thought he liked it. So he kept on doing it. And we had to watch that for such a long time. I was desperate. And I thought, I'm fired on Monday. And I don't know why. I think the pastor kind of got kind of busy. He never invited us to go out and eat again. I think he got busy with church stuff. 2 years old, the beautiful kid. The Corona Church invited me to come and interview. And after the interview, the board members and the search committee, they're all nice people, smiling at me, asking questions. They're very nice to me. And a few days later, Pastor Gary called me and he said, Gilbert, I just want you to know that it seems that most of us, or all of us, had a good impression of you. And, I think this is going to be very positive. And I said, oh, I can do this. I think I got this job. And he said, don't get too excited. We have to go to the proper channels, you know. But just hang in there. I just want you to know that you did a good job. The interview was good. And there is a good possibility. I was so happy. And I said, thank you, Pastor Gary. This is so awesome. He said, yes. We needed to make sure that you get to know the youth. And I said, that's fine. We're going to have a breakfast, a brunch, at the Tilly's house. Are they here today? And I said, awesome. I'll go there and meet the youth and just tell me when, and I'll go there. He said, yes, Gilbert, this is the date. Bring your family. And I thought, AJ. And I think everything went okay. He's quite active. I think he didn't break anything, but it was okay. And then after that, my last week was my first Sabbath, and Pastor Gary told me, Gilbert, you're coming to my house. We're going to have lunch at my house. And I said, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. You come, and I want you to be at my house for the first Sabbath. So we had some people there, and AJ was a little fussy, but I think everything ended up okay. Nothing was missing or nothing was broken, as far as I know. But this Sunday, we were with Greg and his ministry and meeting with some fathers for the ministry that Greg does. And I heard the pastor saying, oh, this Saturday at our home, and I was showing the garden around, and there were some stones there. There's some letters there. Some of the kids were trying to read what was said. Then I was teaching them. And in my mind, the first thing that I thought was, did AJ move them or break them? You know, it's tough. It's complicated to have a kid around. But please, when you see AJ, he's such a cute little boy. He's a good boy. And he's growing. He's 2 years old. And those terrible twos one day will become something else, I guess. What comes after terrible twos? What is that? The awesome threes. Okay. Awesome threes. Praise God. Bless your lips. But Pastor Gary asked me to talk a little bit about my family. Pastor Gary asked me to talk a little bit about how did I end up coming here to this church today. So he told me, Gilbert, would you be willing to tell us your story, your testimony, a little bit of your journey? So that's what I'm trying to do here today. Maybe another day we have a better sermon. And but today he asked me to talk a little bit about my family, my life, my experience. So I hope you can handle that for a few minutes. Growing up was not easy. I grew up in a very poor family, South America, Brazil. My dad had alcohol problems. He abused our families in many different levels. And it was a very rough journey. And today, my dad is a great man. He's always been a great man, but alcohol was taking a huge piece of him and transforming him to something else. I will tell you some other day, but growing up was not easy, seeing all the violence and all the abuse that was going on in the house. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I have a question to ask you today, and this is going to be the most important part of what I have to say today. And I want you to think about this. Does anybody know what can be more or better than being born and raised in a Christian home? Can anybody tell me, what do you think can be better than be raised, than being born in a Seventh-day Adventist home? Anybody? What can be better than that? Yes? It's the best thing in the world? Okay, that's good. Anybody has an idea of what can be better than being born a Seventh-day Adventist, to be born a Christian? Being born in the side of a home that loves and appreciates the Lord and worship God. What can be better than that? Anybody knows? I hope I didn't hear somebody back there saying not being born in a Seventh-day Adventist church. Anybody has an idea? You can say, you can talk. Yes. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? What can be better than being born in a Christian home? I didn't. Yes. Being born in heaven. Okay, that would be good. Yes. You. Being born in heaven. Anything else? This side speak English too, is that right? What can be better than being born in a Christian home? You see, it's kind of sad. But those answers are good, but they're wrong. In my opinion. You want to say something? That's good. That's awesome, isn't it? In order to tell you what can possibly be better than being born in a Christian home, I need to tell a story to illustrate this. I was born and raised in a Catholic home. We didn't practice much. We went to church occasionally. I always wanted to be a priest. Then I found out they don't get married, and I said, forget that. Then I became a Seventh-day Adventist. But growing up not in a Seventh-day Adventist church, growing up in a very abusive home, it was complicated. when I was just a little boy, I lost the person that I loved the most in my life up to that point, my grandfather. I loved that man so bad. I still love him and I still miss him. I was just a little boy. Seeing my grandfather gone and going, it was devastating growing up. And for about 10 years, I kid you not, for about 10 years, I cried the fact that I missed my grandfather. I could not even hear his name. I could not even hear people mentioning his name or something he did or didn't do or how they remember something. I would cry. I would go several days like very sad and depressed about it. I really loved the old man and I missed him so much. January 28, I'll never forget that date. Fast forwarding a little bit, in Brazil, it's mandatory that you serve the armed forces. If they draft you, you have to serve. It's not easy to get out, so I had to serve for a year. I was drafted. And at the end of the service, at that year, one of my friends, 19 years old, Gustavo, he died in a motorcycle accident on January 28. Many, many years after my grandfather had passed away. So going to the funeral, going to the services, and all the burial, and all that kind of stuff, it was very, very complicated for me. Remembering all that stuff that was going on. During that very same week, one of my uncles, he speaks with the spirits. He has that ability of communicating with the spirits, and for some God knows what reason, he came to one of my uncle's house that week, and when I came back from work, there he was in a spiritualistic section or whatever, and they were talking to the dead, and sure enough, my grandpa showed up. And my grandpa did not talk to me. He talked to all his sons, daughters, but he didn't talk to me. It was devastating. It was one of the most horrible weeks of my life, remembering and going through all that kind of stuff. But one day, coming back from work, when I parked in front of my garage, moved the car in, my next door neighbor, a Seventh-day Adventist, he looked at me and said, "Gilbert, what has happened to you? You're always smiling and so happy about life. You look so sad lately, soon." And I told him what had happened. I said, "I'm remembering the loss of my grandfather. This week I lost a 19-year-old friend. And that all these things are going on inside of my home. And my uncle's talking to spirits and all that, those things happening." And when I told him all that, he asked me a question that changed my life. Do you know what he asked me? My 72-year-old, at that time, next-door neighbor, you know what he asked me? He said, "Gilbert, would you like to know what the Bible says about what happens when someone dies?" Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? And then I said, "I didn't know the Bible talks about it." He said, "The Bible does." And before I realized, I was inside of his house. He was giving me a Bible study, and he was flipping pages after pages after pages, text from text. And then at the end of that Bible study, I already knew that I wanted to have that promise in my heart. I wanted to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And a year later, after completing my Bible studies, I was baptized in the church. And what is amazing, I came to the church with so much passion for the possibility, I'm not sure if my grandfather is saved or not, I hope he is, but for the possibility of one day meeting the old man again, I would give up the world only to have that possibility available in my life. And I gave everything to the church. A couple years in the church, I went through every single possible department that you can possibly imagine. I was elder, superintendent, Sabbath school. I was, a Sabbath school teacher. I played, I sang, I danced, I think. Well, I didn't think I danced, but I did some. Everything you can possibly imagine. I was so much on fire for the Lord. And because of one question of one neighbor, one Seventh-day Adventist neighbor, the church gained a new member, a new family, a Bible teacher, a pastor, because of one question. So if you would ask me, what can possibly be better than being born in a Christian home, I'm going to tell you what it is. There is nothing better but having a Seventh-day Adventist neighbor that loves the Lord and share his faith with other people. Amen? So I have a question to ask you today. Are you a neighbor of someone? Can anybody hear the word from you? Can you be kind to somebody? You have no idea how smart, how wise this man was at the time, 72 years old. Do you want to know how I learned about tithe and offering from him, one of the Bible studies he gave me? Do you want to know how he did? One day he asked me, first of all, he would give me money to go out with my girlfriend because at that time I had lost my job. So caring, so nice. And one day he was asking me, Gilbert, I really want to know how much you make. And I was like, this is so personal. Now, please tell me. He's like, $500 a month, $1,000. I know you don't make much, when I was working at the time. And I said, why do you want to know? He said, oh, Gilbert, there is another promise in the Bible that I haven't shared with you yet, but today I will. It's called tithe and offering. And the Bible says there's a huge blessing for people that do that. And I want to start paying tithe for you. And I want you to start receiving that blessing too. I don't think he ever done that. But he taught me a lesson that there is a blessing on giving. There is a blessing on sharing with other people our resources. What an amazing and wise man that brought me to church. Never judgmental. But we developed such a great relationship that that old man, when he had to talk to me seriously, he could tell me whatever he wanted. You know why? Because he was my friend. And he always had my best interest first. Are you a good neighbor? Are you a good friend? Are you sharing your faith with someone? Are you blessing someone with what you know? Going to school was not easy because I came to this country with zero English. And some of you might be saying, yeah, you still don't speak English. I'm working on it. Going to school without knowing English, it can be very hard. The only thing I knew was how to go to McDonald's and ask, give me number 3, please. And if the lady would ask me, would you like to have a large soda instead of a medium one? Oh, I would go home and cry because I couldn't order food. I had no idea what she was saying. Going to school was complicated. No grants, no loans, no residency. I couldn't apply for those things. I had to pay my school up front, or I had to be on those huge monthly payments that the only quarter that I registered on time was the first quarter at La Sierra University. Every single one of those quarters for the last 4 or 5 years, I registered late. My name was never in the list. Teachers would not give me my grades for the assignments because they didn't know where to put it. And sometimes they're like, Gilbert, your grade is not that good. It's like, I turned everything in. I know my English is not that good. Oh, yeah, you are the Gilbert guy that cannot register on time. They did not understand that. But thanks to the church, thanks to the conference, Southeastern California Conference invested so much in me, you have no idea. 2-way matching plans and 3-way matching plans and ethnic scholarships. My pastor from the Portuguese church, he used to go almost every quarter to La Sierra University. This is a good guy. Let him study. He doesn't have any money. He owes us already like $10,000. Yeah, but he's a good guy. He wants to be a pastor. And he tried so hard to keep me going. And I finally graduated thanks to my wife. My wife worked 3 jobs so I could go to school. Did you hear what I said? She worked 3 jobs so I could go to school. I worked 2 jobs too. It's not easy. But God helped us. Then I start working at the Portuguese-speaking church, and by the time I graduated, I was like a volunteer associate pastor without a degree, working as a pastor. When I graduated, all my teachers, all my professors, they said, Gilbert, this is not a profession for you. You cannot even speak. How you want to be a pastor? And I said, well, I think this is what God has placed in my heart. Maybe I'll get my degree and go back to my country. Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought about it. I had about 15 interviews when I graduated. Everybody said that I was awesome. Everybody said that I was handsome. But nobody gave me a job. And finally, my last interview, when the principal from Calexico Mission School came in, she interviewed me. I asked her, "Are you going to hire me?" She said, "Yes, I will. I think I will." And I said, "Why? I don't understand." She said, "Well, you speak Spanish. Your English is okay, better than my students at least. I can understand you." And she said, "You have a degree in accounting, and I need somebody to teach accounting this year." I had like an associate degree in accounting from Brazil. And then she said, "You were born and raised Catholic, and 99%, 95% of my kids, they cross the border every day, and they have Catholic backgrounds. You're the perfect match." Praise God, hallelujah, I had a job. Isn't that amazing? How God works. There's always a place for us. Calexico Mission School is a place that when I left, I cried many times. Because even though it's 20 degrees hotter right now in Calexico, it's about 135 degrees down there. And the summer has not started yet. I'm just kidding, about 115 or so. I learned so much from that school. Learning about the kids and their lives and all the struggles that they had to go through. I'll never forget when a little girl in eighth grade, she looked at me and she said, "Well, Mr. Delvecchio, I'm not going to see you for the next few days. I'm going to be going to San Diego." And I look in her eyes and I knew that she wanted to tell me something. And I said, "What's happening to you?" She said, "Oh, I'll tell you later." And then I saw her later on and I asked her, "Is everything okay with you? I'm praying for you." Until one day she came to me and she told me she was seeing a psychiatrist. And I said, "Well, that can't be good." And then later on I ended up finding out that this girl, she had been abused when she was 6 years old. Her parents didn't believe her. And then, not only that, this girl, in order not to be abused again, in high school, she decided to join a gang. And I'm going to let you guess what was her initiation in order to be a part of that gang. She was abused again. And I had to go through that process and talk to the family. And I remember the day when I told this girl that I said, "You know, I'm a mandatory reporter. I have to call your family." And when I called them in, and you know, it's complicated. The girl became a good friend. She's back to church. Her family's an awesome family. And it seems that she's doing okay. I'll never forget. Start working with a young adult that his girlfriend dumped him for another girl. He got into drugs. He lost his father in a very stupid accident when he was a little kid. His mind was all messed up, and I started working with this young guy. He tried to commit suicide so many times. There's one day I was coming to church at 9:30 in the morning, and the mother called me, and she said, "Gilbert, you have to come to my house." I said, "I can't. I'll go after church." She said, "You have to come right now. Drop everything you're doing." I had to call somebody else to teach my Sabbath school class, and I had to go there. And she showed me the rope and everything. She said that at 3 a.m. in the morning, she found her son on a couple steps outside of the house, ready to kick that stairs down with a rope around his neck. The rope tied up on the second floor in one of the beds or something on the second floor of the house, and she found her son out there, just ready to kill himself. And she asked me to go and talk to him. I prayed with him. I visited with him. I counseled him. I asked him to go back to church, and he wouldn't go because he was already baptized so many times. These things are priceless. One of my eighth grade students, he asked me the other day, "Mr. Dovac, you can speak 3 different languages. Why don't you find a job that you can make money?" I thought about it. But I'm going to tell you what I told him. If I would look for a job that I could make more money, I would never get to know him. I would have never got to know the mission school. I would never worked at the Chino Portuguese speaking church. I would never have met this little girl that was going through so much in her life. I would never get to know this guy that tried to commit suicide so many times that we finally were able to bring him back to church. I would never be able to be here today. What can be better than being born a Seventh-day Adventist? I'll tell you. It's having a neighbor that decides to tell you about his faith, about the promises of God, about what God can do for you. And only to finish up, I'll never forget when I was still in Brazil, a little kid full of dreams, no money, raised in a very humble family. I'll never forget one day when I told this man and I said, I will never become anything in my life. I will never amount to anything in my life. Look how my family is. If I become half of what my dad is, if I become half of what my uncles are, my life is going to be horrible. My mom told me that she prayed for me every single day of her life. Lord, take my son away. He will become something exactly like my husband, and I don't want this for him. God heard her prayers. And through this man, I was able to come here and study, go to college. And I'll never forget what he told me when I was complaining about life, not having anything, not having any future ahead of me. And he said, Gilbert, I need to give you another thing from the Bible. And I want you to commit that to your heart and never forget. And I said, I'm ready. The Bible is full of good stuff. Give it to me. He turned his Bible into Jeremiah 29:11. He said, pay attention, boy. What I'm going to show to you right now is going to change your life. And I was so hungry. And I was so ready. So I went to the Bible and I turned the pages to Jeremiah 29:11. And I read something that changed my life forever. And I hope it changed yours. I had to hear that old man some 15 years ago or more. I had to hear that old man telling a boy that could hardly speak any Portuguese. I had to hear that man say, Jeremiah 29:11 says, young boy, for I know the plans I have for you. Thus says the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. The old man looked at me and he said, Gilbert, are you ready to start journeying with God? Are you ready to start to go on a journey with God? Because if you commit yourself to the Lord, God will take you places that you're never going to dream, that you never dreamed about it. And he was right. 10 years later, I graduated from college. About 10 years later, I could speak 3 different languages. About 10 years later, walking with God, I was a teacher in a foreign country. About 10 years later, I had a family. I had a job. I had some status in my life. And looking back today, I cannot believe how much good has the Lord done in my life so far. Only because one man told me, I believe in the Lord. I know He has a plan for you, and I'm going to invite you to go on this journey with Him. So today I'm going to ask you the question, are you on a journey with the Lord? Or are you following the Lord from far away? Isn't it time to come a little closer? Isn't it time to surrender everything to God and say, God, I know You have plans for me, and I'm sure the plans that You have for me are better than the ones that I have been making for me. The Lord has plans for every single one of you here. And I'm not saying that you have to become a pastor and preach, but there's so many different ways to bless people around you. My life, my journey with God has been an amazing journey, an amazing blessing. I'm honored to be here in this place. I have a huge passion for youth ministries, for young adult ministries. And I hope that with your help, we're going to be able to do amazing things. for these wonderful kids. And I hope that you will support us as we move forward. I hope that sometimes you would overlook some of the things that we'll do that might be a little bit too crazy, but we all have one purpose in mind: to bring them closer to the Lord, to keep them in church, so one day they will also realize that it's their time to walk with God, to journey with God, and maybe even closer than we can possibly imagine. So would you receive this today? This is the message that I brought here for you today. I was told to talk about myself, and I despise that. I hate to talk about myself. I never do that when I'm preaching. Never. But that's my experience with God. That's been my journey with God. And I hope you're blessed. And I hope you continue to support this church. And I hope you continue to walk with God, maybe even closer, so that we all can benefit from you, from your resources, from your blessings, from your talents. And I hope we can make this place an amazing place for the Lord even better. I hope you accept this. This is my humble message for you this morning. Thank you so much. You're going to see my family outside. You can say hi to them. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord help us all to continue to grow, to continue to experience Him. And more important than that, that we may bring more people along the way. Be a good neighbor. Tell your neighbor God has plans for them too. Let's pray together. Is this the time we pray? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day that you have given us, Lord. And thank you so much for the opportunity I had today of remembering my journey with you, Lord. Thank you so much. Looking back, Lord, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't change it for the world. All the blessings that you have given me and my family for these past 15 years, Lord. I pray that you bless this church, Lord. I pray that you bless every youth and young adult that is here today. I pray that you bless every family that is represented. Because of the long weekend, some of our relatives might be gone. But I pray that you bless us all, Lord, and help us to come a little bit closer to you, and help us to become the best blessing somebody can have. That is to become a good Seventh-day Adventist neighbor, co-worker, teacher that will share his or her faith with the world. Thank you so much for the old man that brought me to church. You know who he is, and bless him, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath.